You're listening to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Pennsylvania historically has relied on taxes imposed on gasoline to generate revenue for the state's transportation needs. However, as cars have become more fuel efficient and more people will be driving electric vehicles in the future, maybe even the near future, new funding sources are needed. Then there's also gas tax revenue going to other causes. Like the state police operations as well. Governor Tom Wolf appointed a Transportation Revenue Options Commission made up of transportation, economic, and community stakeholders from the public and private sectors, including majority and minority leaders from the House and Senate Transportation and Appropriations Committees. That commission has made some suggestions on how to generate revenue for transportation, and that's what we'll discuss on today's program. Joining us is PennDOT Secretary Yasmin Gramian and Leanne Sherman, Executive Director for the American Council of Engineering Companies of Pennsylvania and a member of the Transportation Revenue Options Commission. Welcome to the program. Secretary Gramian, let me start with the big question. Why does Pennsylvania have to find revenue alternatives to the gas tax?
Good morning, Scott. Glad to be with you this morning and glad to be with Leanne this morning. To provide some background on this transportation revenue option, I want to give you some information on what you've been hearing all along from me and the previous secretaries talking about the biggest challenge facing the Department of Transportation, which is funding, and funding for highways, bridges, as well as multimodal. Gas tax is a primary source of funds for PennDOT to the tune of 74% of our highway and bridge funding revenue. Passenger vehicles are becoming more fuel efficient, and all electronic vehicle technology continues to evolve as we are seeing reduced revenues as a result of that. And this trend continues to grow. Auto industry investing $225 billion in electrical vehicles, GM producing nothing but EV vehicles by 2030. Other auto industry manufacturings are following the same suit. Of course, you heard last week the president's announcement that by 2030, half of the vehicles sold in the United States will be zero emission. So what does that mean for Pennsylvania? That means that gas taxes have become and continuously becoming a less predictable and reliable source of revenue for transportation in Pennsylvania and also across the country. Many states are relying on gas tax as a source of revenue. And this past year, the challenge became a crisis. We lost around $500 to $600 million of revenue as a result of reduced traffic from the pandemic. And we came extremely close to shutting down active construction projects by December of 2020. And the governor agreed to request by the legislative leaders to find a short-term solution until we could resolve this issue at the beginning of the next legislative session, which happened this past June, July. At the same time, we've been reducing the size of our overall construction program year over year. We started at $2.5 billion back in 2015 to we were planning on doing $2.2 billion in 2020 before COVID, and we ended at $1.6 billion. $600 million less than what our intention or our plan was for 2020, our original plan. So this situation is getting worse. This year, we are very thankful during the budget season to the legislators for providing an additional $279 million that we received from the COVID recovery fund, which is going towards our construction program. So we increased our program by another $200 million. So what I'm trying to say is the motor license fund, predominantly gas tax, that supports 40,000 miles of roads, over 25,000 bridges in Pennsylvania, also close to 80,000 miles of locally owned roads and 6,500 locally owned bridges, is a source of our revenue, and it's becoming less sustainable and less reliable. So what did we do as a result of that? We actually put this, on March 12th, Governor Wolf signed an executive order establishing the Transportation Revenue Option Commission, which is the TROC. And the commission was tasked with developing comprehensive multimodal funding recommendations while phasing out Pennsylvania's reliance on the current unreliable source of funding, which is the gas tax. And I have to add that our current annual unmet funding need is $8.1 billion for an entire highway and bridge system and $9.3 billion for all modes of transportation.
So you've answered a lot of my questions right there, Secretary, but one that I'm sure a lot of people have, a question that many people have is, so status quo, staying with the gas tax for now, is not an option. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. It's a declining revenue. When you have a declining revenue, your performance and the way you manage your system, you know, there is not enough fund to take care of your system. So as a result, our operation and the money allocated to maintain our system goes down. And we are seeing less and less of the right solutions and the right treatments for our highway and bridge program.
Leanne Sherman, give us a sense. I mean, the Secretary laid out how there had to be cutbacks here in the last year, but give us a sense of Pennsylvania's transportation needs. I mean, you're coming at it from an engineering point of view, but give us a sense of Pennsylvania's transportation needs as part of this commission.
Absolutely. And thanks for having me today, Scott. And it's a pleasure, Secretary, to be here to talk about this subject matter. You know, I think the biggest part that we have to look at is the transportation need is not just for everyone who drives a vehicle. You know, the infrastructure, and that's why the word is really used as opposed to transportation in a lot of these areas when we talk about it, is infrastructure is really about how you are able to have quality of life, food security, safety within our communities. And that really goes to, yes, roads and bridges, absolutely, that you drive your vehicle on, or that our transit agencies, buses, can take persons from place to place. But it also looks at how we are able to sustain life. We get our packages, our food has to be delivered by rail or by tractor trailer. We go to medical appointments, how do those supplies, how do those doctors, how do we have a very vast infrastructure and then yet still be able to modernize it, maintain it, and then continue to improve it? And so what we're looking at here, as the Secretary mentioned, is not only is the revenue declining because we are moving forward with great technology. I mean, electric vehicles, various different types of technology that help us and help the citizens of Pennsylvania and our visitors. But it also looks at those common things. Every person, when you go to buy a car, wants to say, what type of mileage am I getting, right? And so if you're looking at something that gets better gas mileage, let's talk right now since that's our gas tax, you're obviously going to be spending less for gas, purchasing less gas. So at the end of that formula really is those monies aren't there to invest back into those roads, bridges, transit, rail, bike and pedestrian, ports to bring things in. And that's just a simple way to look at it. But when you also look at the impacts of infrastructure as a whole, that it is also a user. And you might think of it as, well, I'm not driving a car. Maybe I use transit. Maybe I walk. What we're looking at in Pennsylvania and all across the country, to be honest with you, Scott, is that we are so reliant and have been since we've passed this wonderful gas tax. It was great in 2013, and I applaud, you know, a lot of our legislators that were part of that are still left in our legislature. Some have moved on, but they took up this initiative and said, we need something. We need to do something for our infrastructure and transportation funding. But at that time, we knew that was not going to be the answer for the long term. That was something we needed to do in order to get us through a decade of investment, a 10-year period. The pandemic has shown us that we cannot, quote unquote, put all our eggs in one basket, because as we move forward, we also have things that we need to think about. And I know the secretary probably, you know, lives, eats, and breathes this, but, you know, we have to look at resiliency. We have to look at our environment. When it rains, and it rains hard, we have floods. We have sides of embankments. We have mountains. We have roads that deteriorate over time. And so it isn't as easy as saying, let's just build a four-lane highway or fix a bridge. We have to look at infrastructure as a continuously growing aspect of our daily lives. And I think that's why we all have to step back, at least in my opinion, and I'll speak for, you know, engineers solve problems. And I know the secretary is actually an engineer by trade. And so the problem we need to solve today is not just about the engineers and the consultant community. It's all of Pennsylvanians need to stop and think about, how can we invest in our infrastructure? How can we ensure food security and quality of life and safety for our residents and our visitors? And right now, we're in a dire time. Gas tax is declining. We are getting, which is great, better fuel efficient vehicles. We are looking at technology improving greatly, such as the electric vehicle or other ways. And so let's take hold of that and say, we recognize it, but that means we need to address this in other ways, other funding options. And that's one of the reasons that the TROC was created, was to talk through those and vet all of those options we could come up with, and maybe turn back over to our legislature opportunities for discussion to move us forward and have something long-term and sustainable.
Secretary Gramian, what was the commission charged with by Governor Wolf?
So as I mentioned, the commission was charged with coming up with a comprehensive funding solutions for all mode of transportation with a long-term goal of relying less on the gas tax to the extent of actually eliminating the gas tax in the state of Pennsylvania. And because of what you just mentioned and what Leanne mentioned, that you know, transportation touches everyone's life, right? You leave the house, the first thing is you either get in your car or you walk to the train station, you catch the train or catch the bus to go to the destination. Even if you don't leave the house, you're still relying on all the boxes that are getting delivered. So everyone today is relying on the transportation system. And when we put this Transportation Revenue Option Commission together, we were very mindful of making sure that everyone who's at, who's a stakeholder, who's a decision maker, who has constituents that are they're advocate for, that are engaged in this commission. So we wanted to make sure that it's a very inclusive commission. And you mentioned earlier that there were folks from, you know, all the community stakeholders, public and private sectors. We included all the major transit agencies on the eastern side, western side of the state, local agencies, the townships were involved, representative from the townships, trucking associations were involved, laborers and unions were involved, contractors were involved, EEOs, the folks from equal opportunity offices were involved, Leanne and the engineering and architectural firms, communities were involved. Turnpike was involved. Transportation Coalition funding was involved. Aviation Council was involved. Chambers were involved. Bicycle Coalition, disability communities, bus association. We included everyone. And we wanted to make sure that, again, we're coming up with a comprehensive package. So the way the process worked, and it was very, very transparent. We had 9 public meetings, all live stream. All meetings were recorded, and recordings are on website. People can listen to it. We used Mentimeter and chat through Zoom for engaging the members. And all ideas were captured and shared with the members. And we did polling on potential options and funding goals and potential targets and short-term, mid-term, and long-term funding goals and options. And so, and in addition to that, we wanted to make sure that the members are fully familiar with the current situation and the current crisis that we are faced on the funding side. So one of the things that we did was we brought in folks from PennDOT to give presentation on how we came up with this unmet funding needs on the highways and bridges. We presented to them the condition of the roadways and the bridges, the asset management plan that we prepared. We also presented to them what other states are doing in terms of funding for their transportation. Every state is different. We created a baseline. And honestly, Pennsylvania is probably one of the only states that's it's so highly reliant on gas tax. That's at the tune of 75%. The other thing we did was we brought in outside presenters on multiple topics, best practices in other states. We really wanted to give a full understanding of the problem and potential solutions to the TROC members. The other thing we managed to do is we created the tools through the spreadsheets for, you know, after the members identified a list of options that should be evaluated, we created the tools and a spreadsheet that would calculate, you know, how much each option would generate short-term, long-term, mid-term. And then we also developed a report to further areas as like potential solutions, potential scenarios. And I encourage Leanne to talk a little bit more about that because she was very engaged in one of the working groups that we put together. And we had 8 of them, and they looked into multiple solutions that we evaluated for potential funding options.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of those options. Let me go to, in fact, we have a caller who wants to talk about one of those options as well. Sarah is in Juniata County on U.S. Route 322, I understand. Sarah, you're on Smart Talk.
Good morning, Scott. I travel for a living, and I can tell you, I know exactly when I cross into Pennsylvania because the roads change, and it's not for the better. But I would like to suggest that perhaps in lieu of a gas tax, we complete, when we register our cars every year, we complete a form that says how many miles we have driven. Perhaps something could be associated with the amount of miles that are driven, and that way it would be distributed for people like me who use a lot of the highways, including the local roads, versus somebody who doesn't drive a lot.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sarah, thank you very much for your call. And I'm glad that Sarah brought that up because that was one of the recommendations. By the way, should I be referring to these as recommendations or suggestions?
You can refer to it whatever you like. It's
okay.
They're options, actually.
Okay, options. I like that word better. We'll go with options. So let's talk about some of these options. The one that Sarah just brought up, a fee on miles traveled. Higher registration fees in Pennsylvania, tolls on more roads, or you know, tolls that are more directed, fees on package deliveries. Now, I want to talk about all of those, but we conducted a poll, and I'm not going to claim that this is a scientific poll because it isn't. It was on Twitter, but we got over 50 responses. Let me just tell you what we found from, and these are WITF listeners, found that 48% preferred a fee on miles traveled, as Sarah had suggested. 20% suggested higher registration fees. 20% also, and we can talk about this, wait for the federal infrastructure money. Now, we'll talk about where that is, because that's timely as well. 12% tolls on more roads. Now, those four were their only options. Leanne, your thoughts on the results of that poll?
Sure. And I want to thank Sarah, actually, for bringing that up. Yes, all of those that you mentioned were part of the options that we put forth. In our work groups, and I just want the listeners to understand this a little bit, we had 9 public meetings, but we did have work groups where we did a lot of what I call the grunt work, We talked about, you know, what should be part of those recommendations. Is there validity to any one of the things that we discussed? Are we missing options that we should bring forward, and why? Outside of the presentations given and outside of the already discussed list of things, quote unquote. You know, when you look at utilizing the transportation infrastructure funding as more of that user base and how it touches everyone for their quality of life, you start to think about what is the fairest, most equitable way to do that. And a mileage-based system, as Sarah suggested, would do such thing as that. Now, we know that there's concerns out there with people saying, well, I don't want something that plugs into my car, or, you know, big brother watching over me type thing, or, you know, tracking me everywhere I go. As Sarah mentioned, you know, maybe it's something as simple as when you get your car inspected each year, when you register your vehicle, whether it's the 1 year or the 2 year, you record those miles. But when we talk about how we came up with these fees, user fees, taxes, whatever you want to call some of these options, they really were looking deep at how does it affect Pennsylvania residents and visitors. So for instance, Scott, you know, we also had what's called an ad valorem tax, and that was heavily discussed, which is really, someone's not familiar with that. When you purchase a vehicle, you're looking at the price of that vehicle, and there would be an associated fee with that. Higher the vehicle, the higher the fee you pay. But we do that already when you purchase a home, right? The higher the home price, the more sales tax you pay, per se. So that's not something that is out of the realm of something we're used to doing, but it allows for those people who say, I have maybe that disposable income, I want to spend more on my vehicle, versus someone who spends much less on their vehicle. So it touches everyone, but touches them fairly and equitably. Same thing for people who maybe, as Sarah mentioned, drive hardly any miles, or maybe just kind of an in-town community driver. They would pay less in a mileage-based system. People who take transit, for instance, and maybe they only use their vehicle to go to the store or a doctor's appointment, but they take transit to work every day. They would definitely pay less in a mileage-based system, but it would be fair because it would be the user and what the user is doing. And I will be honest with you, Scott, one of the things that we looked at was how can we ensure that we are touching and looking at all of the options out there? So all of these work groups really took a long time to vet through what was within our wheelhouse. We did have some staff looking at it from a financial perspective from the administration, which was very helpful. They had a document, a worksheet that would help us look at if we increased a fee by 10% or we added a dollar here or there, you know, what would that impact be to those unmet needs? We also looked at, we're not going to take these things and do them day one. There were phases, and when we recommended these options, we looked at them in a phasing strategy, because you can't shut the gas tax off tomorrow, and we probably wouldn't be able to integrate some of these items maybe a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. So it really was very important for us to be strategic in our conversations and our work groups, and we vetted those extensively. And I want to real quick just mention as well is that a lot of the things that you look at on that list in that final report, and that is accessible on the TROC website, some people would say, well, that doesn't impact me, or that impacts me greatly, such as maybe tolling a road, a corridor tolling. One of the things that was very important, and I actually was co-chair of the tolling scenarios work group. It was a very exciting work group, but one of the things that we talked about was if you were going to toll a corridor or highway, we needed to do it in the manner of making sure we are building back that road or highway, that we are maintaining it or bettering that. And that is what the toll should be utilized for.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, when we talk about maybe mileage fee at inspection, Would this be something that you would be expected, that a vehicle owner would be expected to pay that entire mileage fee at that time? Because I can see, you know, someone who drives 20,000 miles a year, you know, and you were looking at, I believe it was suggested at 8 cents a mile. I mean, you're looking at a fairly substantial amount of money for a one-time payment. How would that work?
I can take that question, Leanne. So, Scott, we are at a very infancy stage with this mileage-based user's fee, and there are a number of different ways. First of all, the technology is not fully developed, okay? And I'm sure as the new models, new cars are coming out, they're going to have the right kind of technology, telematics, to make sure that it can capture the mileage that the cars are being driven. The other challenge that we are faced and all faced as an industry is this is a program that should be rolled out across the board in the United States. And what I mean by that is one state cannot adopt the technology and go based on mileage-based user's fee, whereas the neighboring state is not practicing the same way to pay for transportation. You need to capture the in and out of state traffic all at the same time, right? So you need to have a national policy for these mileage-based technology and mileage-based policies across the board. And right
That's
now
been suggested,
what is happening is at the regional level, there are groups that are actually doing some pilot program. And I also want to mention that I thank Senator Langeholt for having the foresight to introduce this pilot program as part of his Drive Smart Act and doing a mileage-based, a corridor based on mileage-based for the electrical vehicles. So we're currently working on some kind of a business plan to develop what's needed and give it a try and see what are the barriers. This is going to be a process. It's not something that's here yet, but it's not too distant future also. And there are some legislatures that needs to happen. There is some actions that should be taken. And we're putting a plan together. And I encourage you to look for more information coming out of the SMART Act. We are looking forward to work with Senator Langeholt on that.
Some comments from listeners. Tony says the gas tax is already indirectly a miles traveled fee. More miles, more gas, more tax. As cars use less gas and some use none, it makes sense to tax on miles driven basis. More miles, more tax. It just removes the intermediary. Yeah, we'll get the word out yet. Jacob says, interesting that the plurality pick in our poll, the one that feels like it gives a bit of control over the size of yearly cost. Rich says, the concept of a few dollar surcharge on package deliveries is ideal, but it should be for all home deliveries, including groceries and pizzas. The concept that we live life cheaply through deliveries is very short-sighted. Let's talk a little bit about that, Secretary. This package delivery fee, something that we really have seen much more of during the pandemic, is people shopping online, whether it be pizzas, whether it be groceries, or what's happened much more often, so many retail items that they're buying online. So how would this package fee work, and any idea how much money that would generate?
Well, I think it's a great option, Scott. And I'd be honest with you, when we introduced the idea, it got bipartisan support. There may be some folks who are concerned about it, but there are multiple ways that we could roll out this program, especially at the regional level. We can roll it out on the eastern part and the western part of the state, on in the urban areas where there is more usage of package delivery. I mean, there are a lot of options that we can look into and see what would be the best scenario for rolling out, and it could be phased as well, of this package delivery fee. You ask about how much revenue it will generate, it will actually generate a substantial amount of revenue. I remember initially we looked into, let's say, 50 cents to 75 cents a package, and we were able to, when we did all the crunching and the numbers and the information we had, we can generate somewhere in the upward of $800 million a year. And that's a very substantive amount of funding that can be put into highways, bridges, or even transit program. You know, depends on how we roll it out, obviously. If you roll it out on a regional level, like in the urban areas, obviously the urban areas are very concerned about making sure that there's proper transit solutions and enough transit opportunities for all people. But if it's in the rural area or statewide, obviously it's going to be spread over the highway bridge program and multimodal at the same time. So it's a great option, and some states are seriously considering it, and it can generate a substantial amount of revenue, and it is something we should definitely discuss and talk about it more.
By the way, speaking of a fee on mileage, would buses, taxis, Uber, or Lyft vehicles, would they pay a mileage fee, Secretary?
If we migrate into mileage based fee, everybody would pay based on the mileage driven. Absolutely. And this is not going to be an immediate, short-term, or even mid-term solution. As I mentioned before, the technology has to be fully matured. The policies should be in place. There is legislative actions that should be taken. As I mentioned, we would like to do a pilot program with electrical vehicles because that's an easier way to test these solution and see, you know, identify some of the challenges we may face, the barriers, how to collect the revenue, how to spend the revenue. So again, like anything else, we'd like to test it first before we gradually rolling it out. And obviously we're counting on the federal partners to do something at the national level. As you know, part of the president's or the Senate budget, the president has allocated or asked for some allocation for this technology and looking into how we can roll it out on a national level. And we're talking to our federal partners about that. There's ongoing discussions, very open discussions, and they're looking for suggestions from the state.
Secretary Grammy, we were just talking a little bit about infrastructure package on the federal level. The U.S. Senate passed, it's roughly a $1 trillion infrastructure bill yesterday. Now, it still has to go on to the House. Based on formulas, Pennsylvania would see $11.3 billion for highway work, $1.6 billion for bridges, and $2.8 billion for public transit over 5 years. Now, this is according to estimates from the White House. In our poll, there were people who suggested what we should do in Pennsylvania before we replace the gas tax is just wait on the money to come from the federal government. Is that an option?
Well, we're very excited about this transportation infrastructure bill. Obviously, it's a great boost to the funding challenges that we have. It's $1.6 billion for the bridge replacement over 5 years, $11.3 billion for Pennsylvania highways program over 5 years. But I have to say, on an average, the funding will increase somewhere between 600 to 900 per year. It's a gradual increase. It's not a linear over a year. So we're very excited about that. But just to give you, a sense of this is great that we welcome this additional funding that's coming to the state. What we need, we are talking about an unmet needs of $8.1 billion on an annual basis for the highway and bridge program and another $1.5 billion for the transit and multimodal program. So this is going to be pretty much covering 10% of our unmet needs. And we welcome these additional funds. We're very excited about that, but it's not the only solution that we were looking for. And You know, we can't just wait and count on the federal dollars to solve the transportation funding problems that we are having. Again, you know, we're relying on a declining revenue, which is a gas tax. We need to think of a 21st century solution for our transportation funding needs. And gas tax is not it. There are multiple options offered by the TROC members, and all is being studied, and we're ready to actually put our team together, technical team together, work with the legislators, policymakers, to identify, you know, those solutions that would be appropriate for the state of Pennsylvania, for the public to address the transportation needs. So yes, we're very excited about the federal dollars that's coming to the state. Finally, after so many years, last time we saw an increase in the federal dollars was 1993. It's long time ago, Scott. So you can imagine how we managed our budget, you know, with the declining funding that we had for so many years. But we are also trying to come up with a sustainable source of revenue so we don't find ourselves in the situation that we are currently in with the transportation funding.
We have a comment here from Randy in Mechanicsburg, and Leanne, I'll put this one to you. The trucking industry gets tax breaks in Pennsylvania. Wouldn't the revenue from the trucking industry make a difference to keep the roads maintained? Is there any way to get revenues from the trucking industry to support the roads that they use? And let me also add to that that the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association said that they oppose a registration fee increase, because what it would do is drive truckers to other states to register their vehicles, so we wouldn't realize the revenue that we think we would anyway. So, Leanne, what about that and the trucking industry?
So, you know, I will agree there are options there, and that includes being able to increase registrations and whether they affect the trucking industry or the average person who owns a car. You know, one of the important things when we were serving on the TROC was kind of, you know, we're serving there representing whether it's our industry or whether it's, you know, who we are affiliated with, legislature or others. But we had to look at what's better for Pennsylvania. And sometimes we had to take that hat off and really say, okay, what makes sense? What would get us the most fair and equitable way? Yes, I've heard that, you know, the trucking industry is against the tolling and against some increases of registration fees. There were many people on the stakeholder group who were for or against or had reservations or were absolutely unequivocally all in unison that we needed to push something forward. But what we need to look at is that going to solve the gap in the gap alone? No. Is that maybe one of the options? Absolutely. And that's why, as the secretary referred to this as an option, we looked at how it will affect Pennsylvania businesses. And I think that's been, you know, out there in the media and in some other places, is that, you know, all of these things presented hurt either Pennsylvanians or hurt businesses or hurt an industry. And that's not the intent at all. The intent is to try and spread those options out, look at the best and most fair and equitable opportunities. And if that does include raising something that impacts the trucking industry, if that includes maybe a jet fuel tax that would affect aviation, maybe it includes, you know, those things such as the ad valorem or tolls on a specific corridor, we can't alleviate something for everyone, or we won't have funding options available to us. At some point, Pennsylvanians have to understand, and it sounds like from a lot of your callers and those who are, you know, sending in comments, that they do understand it has to be spread across everyone. It touches everyone. And so that impact will be felt maybe more by others, maybe less, but we also all have to have our share of this. So while it may impact one industry more than it impacts another, I think what's important is to look at, is it something that our legislature and our administration and the stakeholders can work together and say, what is the best combination of solutions that will have the least impact, but the best outcome? And that has to be long term. Hopefully that answered that question a little bit.
Something you just said, I mean, obviously, from our conversation, we're talking about a combination of things because, as Secretary Gramian said, the package delivery tax, for example, would raise $800 million. And that's million, right? I want to make sure I was right there. Anyway, that you know, that wouldn't take care of everything. So we're talking about a combination here. Would the gas tax, Secretary Gramian, let me ask you this. Would the gas tax remain, or would it be eventually wiped out completely? Would it be obsolete completely?
Well, at some point, I believe, as an engineer and following everything that's happening, the trend and the conversation we're having in industry, somewhere between 5 to 10 years, the gas tax would be eliminated. And we're moving or pivoting into the mileage base fee, as you mentioned, as we talked about earlier. We're not there yet, but because of all these influx of the electrical vehicles, because of the hybrid vehicles, because of the reliance on a more efficient system, reliance on the transit system, I think we are going to pivot into a new ways of paying for our transportation system, hence moving out of gas tax into other, into mileage base, eventually between 5 to 10 years, and we call it a long-term solution. But Scott, I want to make another point about the previous question that you had, the importance of, you know, you brought up the whole funding that we're going to get at the federal level. I just wanted to bring something to your attention, the importance of our state, which is a mid-Atlantic, it's a keystone state. Multimodal transportation system in Pennsylvania carries approximately $1.6 trillion worth of goods. $1.6 trillion. Within and out of the state annually, okay? So it's extremely important that we maintain the transportation system. In 2011, trucks moved about 870 million tons of goods in Pennsylvania highways, okay? And according to our comprehensive freight movement plan, by 2040, which is 18 years away, that number is projected to be about 1.5 trillion, almost double, okay? It will be hauled across the state. So wherever you see 10 trucks in 2011, we're gonna see 17 of them. Pennsylvania plays a major role in the economic growth of the region. And, you know, at the pace of the trucks growing and using our highways, at the same pace, it's deteriorating our roadways and the bridges. It's compounding congestion. So you can just see the compounding effect of not taking care of our highways and bridges while all these activities and movement is happening on our highways and bridges. So I just wanted to bring that to, you know, to the attention of the callers, that that's why we're so much emphasizing on a multi-prong and a multi-phase approach or solution for transportation funding.
Well, I what you're saying, Secretary, and I would think that most Pennsylvanians realize this. You're talking about the lifeblood of this state. That I mean, there's more than one reason that we're called the Keystone State, but one of the reasons is because we are in such a location where so many goods are moved throughout this country. But you know, the economy of the state depends on a good transportation system. We only have about 90 seconds left. I want to thank both of you for being with us, Secretary. What's next here? I mean, I'm sure that even though your hearings are over with, the meetings that the commission had are over with, that we still have a lot of Pennsylvanians who would like to weigh in on this. But what's the next steps here?
So we actually have identified the next steps in the TROC report. But I have to tell you, there are recommendations, there are options. And, you know, our job was to put together this report, right? But and the next step is to work with the administration, is to work with the General Assembly in further evaluation and implementation of some of these potential funding options, right? Again, we don't want to solely rely on the funding that's coming from the federal government. We also want it to be a self-supporting kind of state in charge of our own infrastructure while we're taking advantage of the funding that's coming from the federal government. Our work is far from over. We are committed to work and collaborate with all the stakeholders, and all our colleagues within the industry, General Assembly. We're very thankful for the support that we are getting from the appropriation chairs with providing us with additional funding in the past budget session. We're appreciative of the support we are getting from all the transportation chairs working with us throughout this TROC 4 months period, you know, exchanging information. We're looking forward to work with Senator Langerhals on the Drive Smart Act and pushing forward some of the suggestions that he had in his transportation proposal. And we all need to come together and address this, you know, huge problem that we are having on the transportation funding. And of course, we're delighted that there are some actions being taken finally at the federal level, which is wonderful.
PennDOT Secretary Yasmin Gramian, Leanne Sherman, Executive Director for the American Council of Engineering Companies of Pennsylvania, both obviously members of the Transportation Revenue Options Commission. I want to thank both of you for being with us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a great day.